Fight!
What's going on, guys? Welcome to Season 6, Episode 3 of the MKU Podcast. We're back again after for our monthly episode. Tonight's episode, we've got Breezy back again. We've got Camby back again. Red Crave is back again also. Our fearless leader, Subby. And Farquaad is on his, for his first episode. How have we all been? Start off with you, Breezy.
Hang on. You missed out a poor Camby, didn't you?
No.
Oh, did you mention Camby?
Yeah.
Restart it.
No, I'm not restarting. No. He can cut it, the motherfucker.
No, that's okay. I just didn't hear Cambio. I was looking at his cute face and I didn't hear it, that's all.
He's what have you been up to, Breezy? I've been up to playing Baldur's Gate 3, going through playing that.
What chapter are you up to in Baldur's Gate 3?
Chapter 3.
How many chapters is there in the game?
I haven't looked that far into it, but I just know there's a lot.
What have you been up to, Camby?
So I've been spending most of my time grinding War Thunder. Spending most of my time grinding up the ranks of each of the nations. Other than that, been doing a bit of Fortnite and Siege with the boys.
Has there been like an influx of people going back to playing War Thunder? Because I'm seeing more and more people playing it now.
I'd say the servers are a lot more active than they used to be. It's a lot more easy to get into games now than, you know, having to wait 10, 20 minutes for just one game. So it's definitely gotten a lot better.
I remember I played it with Pickles not too long ago and got absolutely slapped. So I was not doing well.
Yeah, it's definitely a rage-inducing game. You know, some games you do really well and the other game you're out in 2 minutes and you just got to either wait or go into the next one.
Yeah. Nah, it's definitely a good game. What about you, Red? What have you been up to?
I've been playing a bit of a mixed bag of games. I've been very heavily into Tekken 8, grinding the ranks on that. Been playing Dragon's Dogma 2. And also been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14, since that's now on Xbox. So I've been playing that on the console.
Did you end up getting the code off? Sorry, did you end up getting the code off them for that? Or
so I ended up buying it.
Yeah, I never heard back about it.
So just we'll have to let them know that I'm playing it on console now for any future DLCs.
Yeah, I think all the preview stuff will still be PC based.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way they run PC stuff.
The back to Tekken 8, have they fixed that thing with that you were telling me about a while back with the ranked, how you could put it on like easy mode and then back to hard mode?
No, they still allowed special style. So that's what they call it, where you can just press spam one button and it'll like perform combos without actually needing skill.
Yeah.
But the higher ranked I'm in, I'm not coming across it as frequently, so doesn't bother me that much anymore.
Yeah, okay. What about you, Subby? What have you been playing?
You know me, mate. I don't play anything. All I've been doing is playing Siege with you. That is it.
I've seen you occasionally on Fortnite, mate.
Yeah, but not even that much lately. I don't know.
I can't get into the new season.
I don't know. It's just, I think everyone's struggling with Fortnite in general. I don't know. It seems to just be worse than it usually
is. Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I've not really been enjoying it as much. So yeah, mostly just Siege.
What about you, Farquaad? What have you been playing?
Let's see. Lots of stuff, actually. I played some Rock Band on stream the other night for the charity event that we got going on. I've been playing some Immortals of Avium, which is actually pretty cool.
That was a great game. I reviewed that. That's an awesome game.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. I just finished South Park Snow Day.
Thoughts?
Bit slow on the old combat. But it's not horrible. It's really funny. There seems to be like a lot of sort of grindability afterwards, like after you finish the campaign. Like if you get the deluxe edition, you have like the emo chick or the goth chick that you can go to, and she does like a survival
redoing
kind of round based sort of survival mode, which is pretty cool. So you can still like make your characters stupid OP, which is pretty fun. And other than that, just been playing the Crew Motorfest, slapping out the playlists on that.
One of the main issues I had with South Park is that, I mean, I've played them all and I love South Park, the show. But South Park Snow Day, I found as soon as you started getting sort of right into the story and involved in the story, it ended, like it was done, like the game was over. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I feel like it sort of dragged out at the start, and then the end of it was just like super rushed. Like,
it
reckon
almost feels like just double the length of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fun.
It definitely was different to the last two games, so can't complain too much. I've literally just been playing Siege. I'm absolutely addicted to Siege at the moment. I don't know why, but I'm addicted to it. And apart from South Park, and I also finished Alone in the Dark, I think, between the last two episodes, so that was a very enjoyable game. But yeah, Siege, and more Siege. It's been good fun. So you were saying you were playing Dragon Dogma, Red. There's been a bit of a controversy going around lately. Obviously, it's a single-player game, which has microtransactions built into the game, which can give you in-game currency or the ability to edit your character. What, seeing you've been playing it, what's your sort of thoughts on it?
Well, these types of transactions aren't new to Capcom. Like, Devil May Cry had the ability to buy the red orbs, which are used to level up your skills, and the blue orbs for your health bars and stuff. And even the last few Resident Evil games, you could buy the weapon upgrade tickets. So the way I see it is, it's just shortcuts for people that don't actually want to play the game.
Not that they don't want to play, they probably just don't have time.
Yeah, like, it is a
it's
big
probably what
game.
It's targeted at.
I've probably sunk about 16 hours in, and I've only done two main missions. I've just been running around and exploring the world. But within probably the first 30, 40 minutes, I already had multiple items of what the microtransactions are. Like the campsite, the revive gems for your pawns and your character and stuff. I have multiple of them and I don't even remember picking them up.
Is there actually a microtransaction on there to actually edit your character though? Like edit the appearance of your character?
I have heard people saying that, but I don't actually think I've seen it.
Because I can understand, like, microtransactions have been in game since they could be. Like, you've got things, like, we're speaking briefly before the podcast, you've got Forza Horizon where you can buy the treasure map so you know where all the boards and treasure chests and everything are. Do you draw the line at having to pay real money to edit your character's appearance? Like,
well, I've just pulled up the, I've just pulled up microtransactions now. Attain an item that allows the Arisen, which is the character you play, to edit their own appearance. But that can be done in town by just going to a barber.
Okay.
So like GTA, when you go to change your hairstyle and everything.
So like what Subby said, it might be more for the time.
Yeah, it's for the people,
hungry people
that can't just sit down and play it for like 6 hours in a setting like I have been.
Yeah.
So.
Well, from what I could see, the microtransactions were anything from like 99 cents to $5, which I'm assuming is USD, but it's not like they were $50, or as we learned on Xbox yesterday, there's a game on there for $2,999.
Yeah, it's like rubbish. That really came out of nowhere, didn't it?
You've been playing it as well, Breeze, haven't you?
I have not played it. I had not bought it yet.
Oh, okay. Did anyone else have anything else they wanted to put in on that?
I mean, for being a single player game and having like being a full title was $70 worth, and only being single player, it seems a bit unfair to put microtransactions onto that. Especially since there's, I think it's roughly about 21 pieces of DLC that are considered microtransactions on the game.
Well, there's, I've got the game card up. There's 21, yep, sorry, because the deluxe edition upgrade is $23. But the most expensive single item is $7.25, which is 2,500 Rift Crystals, which are used to hire other pawns and purchase special items and stuff. But you get that easily in the game.
I suppose another thing, though, yeah, people might be slightly time hungry, but are you going to jump into a game like Dragon Dogma 2 and not know that you have to sink hours into it? Like, it's a game where you know you've got to sink hours into it. Same as Baldur's Gate 3, you know you have to sink hours into the game. I don't know. I can understand microtransactions in multiplayer games, but when it goes into a single player game, it's just, I don't know.
For me, to see a game that's similar to Baldur's Gate 3 have microtransactions for stuff that you could obtain. Like, what was the purpose? It's like if you put the endgame item for DLC at the very beginning.
It's like, what's the point?
Like, people who put their hard-earned time into it, it's like, oh, I could have purchased it with real money. What's the point?
You'll still have those people that will jump into the games. Like, I'm sure Red's not going to buy the microtransactions. You'll still have those people that want to jump in and play the game and, like, play it from start to finish without needing to pay money to finish it. Yeah. And the stuff that you can buy, I don't necessarily think changes the game too much from what I've read today.
Doesn't change anything, does it?
There's one item that I always saw in the microtransaction list. It's a set of keys for some type of prison or something. And I found the vendor that sells it in the game, and I was like, oh, okay, I saw this in the microtransaction store. I'll grind out a bit of gold and I'll buy it in the actual game, because obviously it's coming up. And that was probably at my 2-hour mark in, and I have still yet to find whatever gate that key goes for. Like, I've no idea.
Did you get the key in game, or did you?
No, I bought the key from the vendor in the game. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't spent any real money on the microtransactions. But like, I've seen a lot of people saying that it was a pay-to-win option, but like, nothing there actually boosts your character.
A lot of people have been saying that forever, though.
Yeah.
Like Forza, for instance, if you buy the treasure map, which you get in the deluxe edition anyway, everyone's like, oh, you cheated. You're not going to go find all the boards and not going to go find the treasure chests and stuff. It's not even about that. You get the some people that want to do achievement hunting, and you get this three easy achievements you get from that. So
yeah, it's just you either sit and grind to get whatever it is, or you just, yeah, it's a shortcut. It's like Red said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a shortcut. And it's cheap for a reason. Like, it's 99 cents because they're like, it's too tempting. It's only 99 cents. Fuck it, I'll just do it.
And then you do it again. If I was doing a hardcore run where if my character dies and I lose that character completely, I'd probably be spending the 99 cents on revived stones just to keep my hardcore character going. But
I don't really have a problem with the microtransactions themselves, but the way that they've priced them, it kind of makes it seem a little bit more like a gotcha game as opposed to, you know, something worth actually spending that money on. Like, you guys buy skins on Fortnite and COD and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of time and effort goes into making that sort of stuff. Whereas when you've got these cheap-ass microtransactions that are just super easy to get and they just bite at you a little bit more every time, and it gets even more tempting to, and I think that's where they're going to grab a lot of people.
Because they don't seem like much when you look at them, but over time, they all start to you know, rack up into a pretty decent, substantial price gain to the actual game.
I'd hate to know how much I spend on Fortnite skins. I'd literally hate to know how much I spend on Fortnite skins. Because they suck you in. Yeah, oh, I've bought one of the Ninja Turtles. Now I've got to buy all of the Ninja Turtles. Oh, there Master Splinter's there. Shredder's there.
There is a site you can punch in your Epic details and it will value your locker.
I
don't want to do it because I don't want to know. And I'd be too scared of someone stealing my Epic account.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to know how much.
Someone had gone and priced, like, if someone was to buy every single skin, every single thing, they priced it to be, like, extremely expensive. I think it was about in the 100,000s, something like that.
Well, it has been around for years, so I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you think that you pay. Well, how much was the Ninja? I think the Ninja Turtles were like $40 or something, wasn't it?
I don't know.
$30 or something.
I think
yeah.
those bundles are usually $24 or something. Yeah.
If you don't have the V-Bucks, obviously, but
yeah.
But yeah. Well, I suppose next topic. Obviously, we've had that bit of a little teaser that we've had of the new Captain America and Black Panther game coming out, which I can't remember the name of for the life of me. I don't think it's called Captain America and Black Panther, but anyway. Obviously, we've had all the Spider-Man games. We have Sony releasing the new Wolverine game sometime.
We've got Blade.
There's a few good names listed. Are we going to start seeing more superhero games? Because they're an IP that the developers know that they're going to sell. Like, they know they're going to sell a Captain America game. They know they're going to sell a Spider-Man game. They know they're going to sell Wolverine, X-Men, whatever they could be. Do you think there's going to be more of those to sort of build a monopoly on, I guess, if you want to call it that?
I'd say it's definitely a sector that is lacking with superhero video games, especially with the amount of superhero movies that you see these days and TV shows.
There is a bit of a problem with some of the superhero powers that, like, they really can't do a Flash game where you're a speedster, purely just a speedster. And I think they also struggled to make a Superman game because of how fast he flies. And they
did.
Iron Man in VR was pretty amazing. So
yeah.
It's not like it can't be done.
I was just going to say, someone's already modified that Matrix engine thing that they dropped and made like a Superman game out. Oh, not a Superman game, but had a Superman model put into that flying around, and it worked pretty well. But
this needs to be done properly. Like,
yeah,
like, yeah, the whole thing of they can't make a Flash game. Saints Row 4's done it. You can run around as a speedster in Saints Row 4. There's an indie developer that made a game called I can't remember the name of the game. I think it was just Hero Battle, where you play as pretty much Superman, flying around in the city, just fighting aliens and stuff, and that was free to play. And so it can be done. It's just...
it's got to be done right.
Yeah, they got to do it right.
And with the Flash, he can go time traveling. So it would be like...
If they did a superhero game... based off the Flash, they could do what they did with Suicide Squad and make it live servers, add seasons, and you've got the whole multiverse there to work with. There's no DC itself doesn't have any limit, and neither does Marvel. Marvel could go and do another Avengers game if they really wanted to. More Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes, this could be the next one. Like, obviously, you got Blade coming. That game's going to be sick, but they need to make sure they do it right, because I suppose the worst part about doing a superhero IP is you've got high expectations on every single game, because you're like, oh, I grew up watching Blade, or I love Blade because he's this badass that kills vampires. Like,
The other problem with them is it's a pretty strict IP to begin with, so you can't can't do too much that sort of degrade the superheroes themselves either. You know, that's the reason why you don't see what was it? The Mortal Kombat versus DC. You know, there's a reason why it was so PG, is because they just couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So you're limited to what they will allow you to do with their IP as well. Which is why a lot of these games just don't work, because it's boring.
Do you think DC might be lowering their guard a little bit? Like, obviously the new Mortal Kombat's got Peacemaker in it. But can you?
Yeah, but those characters already in their own world are violent. So yeah. It's kind of different. We're talking about superheroes. We're talking about
like Batman.
Yeah, we're talking about
violence out like Scorpion.
Correct. You're never going to have Batman kill somebody or whatever they go on about. You're not going to have. You know, the more dark they do go with DC, sure, we might do, because it is, you know, going down that track, the more darker side, so maybe in the future. But so far, they've been kind of boring and rubbish kind of games, because they can't do a lot.
I'm actually keen for some more anti-hero games, like Venom, for example, Deadpool, even. Like, the last Deadpool game was awesome. It was so much fun, but it got canned real quick because they didn't renew licenses and stuff, and I kind of wish they had just kept it up so we could keep playing, because it was great. I don't know. I don't think there's ever going to be a shortage of superhero games. I mean, to an extent, there's games like Helldivers, which is fundamentally a superhero game.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd definitely be interesting to see what they sort of do. Like, Sony's hitting it hard. Like, they've got the Spider-Man franchise now, and they've got Wolverine coming out shortly, which, from what I've seen, looks like a pretty cool game.
I'm excited for that.
But, yeah, I suppose, like Subby said, they've got to be careful what they do, and like I said, they've got to got to make sure that they're doing it properly, because you'll get absolutely crucified otherwise, because you'll have that one person that's read every single Blade comic and, oh no, you didn't do this accurate to this comic book, and this is not right how it was out of the movie or something like that. It'll be something stupid, but you'll always have that one person.
It's going to be hard with a long pre-existing fan base surrounding it already. Like it's a Marvel series I really wish would have come back was the Ultimate Alliance series.
Yeah.
Like, one and two were great. I played the third one on the Switch, and like it was good, but one and two was definitely the flagship for the series.
Yeah. I played the first one on the Wii. It was just like, I fell in love with it. And like, collecting and unlocking characters and all that, and like, you get a big roster at the start, but you also got a lot of characters that you can unlock.
Yeah,
like, that was fun, and I think it would have shown that it's probably what drove them to make a full-on Avengers game. But
I suppose with the power of current consoles too now, they could probably get away with doing a few more superhero games. I think the old PS2 probably wouldn't have handled as much as what they can do now. But it'd be interesting to see what comes in the future. Obviously, they've got the Wolverine game and Blade coming up, which will hopefully both be cool. Hopefully, they're both not IP locked to Sony. It'd be nice.
I think Wolverine will be.
I think Wolverine definitely is. But... All right. I have to go get PlayStation soon, just so I can play them. Obviously, there's been a bit of news circling around about EA and Respawn with the American finals for Apex, where these guys legitimately were playing the game. They were streaming it, so it was, like, legit. Streaming it, and then you like literally saw on their screens, like, the skeletons pop up on the screens. One of them got an aimbot injected into his game. Like, what's... Are we going to start seeing more? Like, obviously, Apex is well known for that sort of stuff happening. are we going to start seeing that in more competitive lobbies like Apex and COD and I suppose Fortnite, where there's hackers out there injecting games so they're stopping full-blown professional tournaments?
Now, hang on. Is this the story that it was because of their cheat engine was compromised? That's what happened? It had nothing to do with them attacking a tournament. It was the fact that cheat engine used in Apex and a million other games compromised. That's, and it just happened to happen at the at that event.
On the tournament.
Yeah. It's not just Apex. It's it's everything that uses that particular cheat engine. Is that the story? Yeah, it's the anti-cheat engine. Yeah. Is that the story we're talking about? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't. I don't think it was a direct attack at that tournament. It was the fact that
there was a direct attack, but it wasn't direct. Direct. It was more the person was bored and wanted to just mess around with a full-on competition.
Oh, that's a. This is the wrong way to say this, but that's the best time to do it because you've got thousands and thousands of people watching a professional tournament.
It's a good way to show, you know,
what you can do
to make a not to what you can do, but to put a message across that the cheat engine is flawed.
Do developers need to go through and make sure all their cheat engines are locked tight for this sort of thing? Because obviously, the cheat engines keep us from modding the game, but we're not thinking about people third-party modding the game for us and doing that sort of thing. Do you think it's going to be more common occurrence, or do you think developers are going to jump on it pretty quickly and fix that sort of issue up?
Well, so on this particular topic, I actually watched a lot of different videos and stuff about this one, like cybersecurity experts and stuff analyzing the footage. We had cheat guys analyzing the footage and stuff, and the Easy Anti-Cheat even themselves came out and said it wasn't actually our cheat engine that was breached, and the cybersecurity experts were backing that up by basically saying that it just boiled down to those guys having a backdoor into their system and actually their systems getting hacked rather than the anti-cheat itself.
Okay.
But like, as these competitions and stuff get more popular, you know, they're going to make a statement. Like this particular anti-cheat attack, there was a little notification saying vote Putin. Like, if they're going to do stuff like this, they're going to go all out. They're not going to just have a little message going vote Putin and stuff. Like, they'll go absolutely ham, like the recent hacks against COD cheaters, where the hackers actually got into the cheaters' software and into their crypto wallets and emptied their accounts.
Damn.
Like, Activision themselves were actually working with some of the cheating software developers to get them their money back. So, you know, it's I don't know. I think we're just going to see a lot more of it.
You think though, those sorts of tournaments, like for instance today, Jinxie was streaming a 1v1 $25,000 tournament on Siege. Like, that might not be a lot of money for a lot some people, but that's a lot of money to be playing for someone to jump in and put aimbot on your game or put up a message in the middle of your screen saying vote Putin or something like stupid like that. Like, it's not like it's just us playing a game of ranked. You think with the sort of, especially like Fortnite always have their cash cups and everything like that, you think that they'd be working extra hard to make sure people don't have backdoor entrances into the game or don't have backdoor entrances into their cheat engine, so we're not having issues like this. So then you've still got people wanting to actually do the tournaments, because it doesn't look great, even though you're not doing it. It does not look great when you've gotten all these skeletons coming up on your screen and, oh, I've got aimbot now. Like, it looks sus. But it'll be... be interesting to see how much further the hackers go, or how quickly the developers can sort of bite back and fix said issues, I guess. Farquaad, this one's all for you, big fella.
Here we go.
PSVR 2. So Sony have released that they made 2 million headsets, and they've sold roughly 1.6 million, and they've stopped production. They want to get rid of all the old stock. Now, you are the only person here, I believe, that has a PSVR 2. Are they priced too high for what they are? And that, is that why they're not selling how they should be? Because obviously Sony, I mean, 1.6 million units is a lot, but...
It's such a niche market. Like, the VR system, it really is a niche market. You've either really into it, like I am, or, you know, you might give it a go, and then your headset's going to sit there gathering dust for the next 12 months, and you might pick it up. But for those types of people, it's not really worth the investment. But with the addition of PC support coming to the PSVR 2, that'll hands down make it the best VR headset for a mid-range sort of entry into the world of PC VR, which has got tons of titles, tons of different experiences and stuff. Sony kind of dropped the ball, I think, with a lot of the advertising. The first PSVR had tons of advertising. It was done well. Awesome experiences. I think the VR 2 is worth the money. Like, for the tech that's in it, is hands down worth the money. But they need more games. They need more titles, to more dev support.
Do you think they should have held back on actually releasing the unit until they had a decent lineup of games to go with it? So people like, oh yeah, I can go buy my PSVR 2 and play these 10 games that they've released with it.
At launch they had a lot of titles.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of titles.
Too many for me to play. Plus there was also at the developer's discretion, games like Alvo. They made the switch from the first generation PSVR to number 2, and Beat Saber came on board. Synth Riders also did the same thing. So there was a ton of free upgrades and stuff for games that I just couldn't get the most out of, because the PSVR tracking with the Move controllers was just terrible. So like going back and replaying those games, plus the, I think there was like 20 something, maybe 30 titles at launch. There's a couple of hundred. Or coming close to. There's still too many smaller titles that are more experiences than fully fledged games, but the real big ones are only just starting to roll out now.
I suppose that, like I was talking to Subby about it the other week, I suppose the issue for someone like me I don't play VR games, I've never, apart from the couple of arcades where I put a VR headset on, I look at it and say, you can go and buy a PS5 for $750, whatever they cost now. Oh, and then on top of that, you need to go buy a PSVR 2, which is $800-something. I suppose someone like you who has been in the VR market before, that's a purchase that you're willing to make because you know what it can do, you know what it's like. Whereas someone like me that would be entry into the market, I'm paying for something for my console, which I've got to pay more money for than I'd pay for the console, to maybe play a couple of games, because a lot of the games I play aren't VR compatible.
Yeah, look, you also have to pay for the games that you want to actually play on it.
Yeah, and any game on VR I see is stuff on PC I'd want to play, like Beat Saber and that anyway, so.
Yeah, look, I think that's part of the reason why I'm really looking forward to the PC support, because you've got stuff like UEVR now. So basically I can turn any Unreal Engine game into a VR experience. So all of my flat screen games, pretty much, I'll be able to play in VR and absolutely slay it. Completely different sort of feel and experience. I have done a couple of mods on a couple of my flat screen titles on the PC with my Vive, and that is such a different experience. So I think with the support and stuff that they're bringing over to the PC, it'll really help sell those remaining consoles, and they'll be hitting that market pretty hard, I think.
Yeah. Red, you were saying before that you've got a Quest VR headset.
Yeah, I've got the Quest 2.
Would you go and buy a PSVR 2?
Realistically, I probably wouldn't. I was given the PSVR 1 to do reviews on before Farquad joined. And I probably did about, I think, 3 or 4 PSVR reviews.
Is that my one?
In the span of like 2 years. Yeah. Yeah, so I've still got that here if you ever want
to. Oh, do you? I have no clue where it is. That's how much I care about VR.
Yeah.
Don't even know where my headset is.
I bought the Quest 2 probably about 2 years ago during Christmas. Got it for like $300. And I played it a lot when I first got it, especially Resident Evil 4 VR edition, because that was only on the Quest. And just replaying that in VR was amazing. Other than that, I barely ever touch it.
I can see the like for VR, but at the same time, unless I can go and play VR Siege, I'm not interested.
Well, there is tactical shooters like Crossfire.
Yeah.
Breaches. Which is pretty much Siege.
Yeah. I think I even reviewed one of them. I just can't remember the bloody title.
Firewall? Something? What was that game?
It just so happens that I bloody deleted it at the moment because I had the SSD review.
There's even a Tarkov game in VR now. Like...
How much is the Quest 2, Redgrave?
That's a good question. How much Quest 2?
He paid 300 something for it, but
yeah, there's the Fireball Ultra, that's the one I'm thinking about. That's really a lot like Siege.
Okay, so at the moment through Amazon, they are currently unavailable.
I was gonna ask Subby what he thought of the PSVR, but the fact he didn't even know where his was answers that question.
The $400 Quest 3 is probably a little bit better. Okay, to get
so the Quest 2 is $400, and how much is the PSVR 2?
$800 and something.
$878.
Yeah.
And what's the
HTC?
I'm asking because I don't have any. I'm not big on VR, so I'm relying on.
But the Quest now has a newer version. They've got a Quest 3 now.
Yeah.
How much is that?
So that including a game. Asgard's Wrath, $800.
So the same price as a PlayStation VR 2. So does which is more compatible with different VR titles? Currently, obviously, the Quest is. Because the PlayStation VR is limited to only PlayStation. The Quest is, And when it has drivers for the PC, is it still the less compatible headset with games?
I think the Quest will still sort of underperform because it is more of a standalone. Like, you can link it to your PC, but you're still not going to get the same amount of detail that you're going to get from a higher-end headset, including the PSVR 2. The textures are just complete 4K.
I suppose.
4K HDR. It's bloody beautiful.
I think currently, as it stands, I think the PSVR 2 is not worth the money. Initially, it looked like it was because of the amount of games that came out for it. But Sony being Sony, dropped support too quickly. And they pump out all these games at release, and then they just stop supporting it. Like, when was the last time a VR 2 game came out that they really pushed?
Oh, that they really pushed. That's a good one.
It's not.
A Horizon game that came out.
Yeah, but that's a game that already exists. And all they've done is given support.
That's a launch one.
Yeah. And then it was a launch game.
Yeah, I still haven't even played that.
So this is what I'm saying. This is what they do, is they support it and make it look... Off.
Sorry, Hugo.
Yeah, they bring out all these games and like make it look nice and tasty, and they want everyone to buy it. And then everyone buys it, and then nothing comes out.
I suppose the big question is, though, like Farquaad, you said with the PSVR 1, the motion hand things that you have that look like ice cream.
The move controllers.
Yeah, you said they weren't good.
No, they were pretty shit.
Forget about that part. The actual headset itself, is there much difference between them?
Massive.
Yes. Massive?
Massive difference, yeah. The visual clarity, there's no screen door effect anymore. You've got eye tracking now. So, like, when you're in a game like Crossfire or Firewall Ultra, the eye tracking, like, if I ADS, so if I'm looking at a particular target and I ADS at that target, wherever my eye is focused on, that's exactly where my barrel of my gun is going to be aimed. And it makes for some incredible footage.
Yeah, I think that's the technology is there, and it's worth the technology, but I think they've realized that the flow of games is just not there, and that's, I don't know whether that's them or no one just wants to support it. And the reason why they've got all this stock is because why buy one when there's really nothing on the PS5 you can play on it, unless you want one of those launch titles.
I think that's why moving to the PC market.
Let's release drivers so people will actually use our headset, because there's no reason to buy them right now.
And the fact that they've decided to not produce it anymore, it's actually affected roughly, I think it's 900 Sony employees, and it's also
They're not producing it anymore. I think they've just put it on hold.
It's not stopped.
They paused production.
Yeah. It's because they've got so much surplus stock sitting there because no one's buying it. Stop production now. Let's try and sell what they've got. And look, maybe they won't. And they will actually stop, just like they did with the first one.
Personally, I want... Because I'm an anime fan, I want, like, Sword Art Online level of technology where I don't have to move around my body physically.
Full dive.
Because you're lazy?
No, it's because I don't have a great lot of room to have a full-on VR setup.
I sit on the couch when I used to use it.
You don't need a great deal of space with the PSVR 2, and but I think that's like, to have the real beauty of it too.
Yeah, but to like have a... Like, Ready Player One, it has like...
Sit in the chair.
Treadmill things, where it would.
I want to get one of those for my PC. Not gonna lie.
But it's like, that's a whole bunch of money. Where is if you have the Sword Art Online's level of it, it's gonna have you lay there, your body's completely dead to the world, and but your mind is still working and you feel everything and all that, and so I don't know if it will work with smell and all that, though they have made a thing for that you can smell the games, like there's a scent thing.
I think that'd be off Resident Evil.
I saw something on TikTok or something the other day where there was like a little, it looked like an air purifier. It sat on the guy's.
It sat
on the floor in front of the couch, and it would let off scents of the game.
Yeah, like.
Imagine The Last of Us or something. They're just all rotting the whole time.
I'm just going to spam him with smoke grenades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real life flashbacks.
To like have it. To have it at that level would be further than what, and like imagine if it like put in the food, if you were eating in the game, it somehow magically puts in the food, like,
well, it's funny you mentioned that, because like when you're
you are eating the food,
when you're in VR and you get so absorbed into the game that you forget where you are. Like you're just so immersed in that environment when I was playing Resident Evil 7 in VR, and they tried to feed me the guts and eyeballs and stuff, I could physically smell and taste offal in my mouth. Like, my brain was just working some overtime, and I used to work in a meat work, so it was a kind of familiar smell, like, it's just association thing, but, like, having a dedicated scent or something like that, like, dispersing would be pretty interesting little concept.
But not, like, not all of us have worked in a meat center, so, like, for us to know that smell, we wouldn't know what that smell is.
I'm sure you smelled a dead animal before.
I have, unfortunately.
You're set.
I'd imagine, like, you smell dead fish, it's going to smell different to a dead kangaroo.
Because, like, there'd be differences.
Yeah.
You'd hope. They're very different animals.
I have unfortunately smelt a dead fish because someone had gone fishing and decided not to throw the fish back into the water. Road kills on the side of the road, you smell that, and it's like, ugh.
So, well, back on the topic of
let's get off the fish topic.
Have you played Arizona Sunshine 2?
It's absolutely amazing.
How bloody good is that dog? That dog is the best AI dog ever created.
Buddy is the bestest boy.
Yeah,
they hands down nailed it. I love that game.
I bought that on the Quest 2 because I was looking at it on Steam. So I was like, I'll just plug the headset into the computer, like what I do when I play Phasma and stuff. But I heard the Steam version was really bad compared to the Quest version, because the game, like, for the PC side of it, was made for the Quest and then ported over to Steam. So Steam was lacking in a lot of the features and
Actually just talking about that a little bit before the podcast. I did a review for Stilt. You're bouncing around a level on the platformer. When I was talking with the developer, asking him questions about the multiplayer and stuff for that game, I asked about some design decisions that they made, and he was saying that a lot of these newer titles and stuff, for them development wise, they're made with a Quest first thing in mind. So you'll probably see a better version of it on the PlayStation or eventually on PC, but generally they're not going to start out very well. They're going to need a bit of an update or two to get them to how they should be, but straight out of the gate, the Quest is going to run really well.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be getting designed first because they just got more titles coming out for them.
I was just reading, over the holiday season, the PSVR2 shipped at 325,000 units, which is meant to be like a hot season for them. The Quest 3 shipped at 1.3 million.
Yeah.
Which takes them to 3.7 million, estimated 3.7 over a full year.
Well, the big VR hype that we would have all seen on social media at some stage, where you see somebody in the kitchen preparing dinner and they're watching, like, Family Guy on the headset, that's the Quest 3. So that's the new pass-through feature and everything. Because on the Quest 2, the pass-through feature was, it's grayscaled. So, you know, it's not that immersive or great. But this one was actually proper, like, color fed and everything. So it's as if you're not actually wearing the headset.
Similar to, like, sort of that Apple Vision and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vision Pro is pretty much the same sort of deal.
They're cool, but they're way too priced high.
Oh.
Way too high. So This comes to the fun part of the podcast that everyone seems to love. And we're going to start with Subby, because I know for a fact he wouldn't have planned for it.
What is it? Tell me. What's the question? No. I'm so excited.
What is the worst game you have ever played?
The worst game I've ever played. Poor. Man. Come back to me. I think. Come back to me.
No worries, Breezy. No.
Come back to me. Breezy, you go, right. though. Breezy, Breezy, you
what's
go.
Your, what's your least favorite best game? The worst game.
No, worst game's a question. Worst game. Damn.
Assassin's Creed Chronicles, because.
Which one? Or all of them?
All of them, because none of them felt Assassin's Creed. I've grown to liking the Assassin's Creed being roaming around, looking at stuff, assassinating from a 3D scale where...
Oh, you didn't like the side-scroller?
Yeah, it just felt... It took away the Assassin's Creed-ness that it was based upon. From the first game, it's like a completely different game. It's like I'm not gonna go jumping off a building from and then go out of a garden of hay and just assassinate someone.
You say you prefer the 3D, the more open world 3D experience. Yeah, okay. What about you, Farquaad? What is the worst game you have ever played?
Oh, well, I'm pushing like nearly 40 years of gaming. There's a lot of bad ones to choose from, but honestly, it's actually more recent, but it's not because I absolutely hate it. It's because of the lack of support and dedication from the developers themselves that just decided to abandon it because they just wanted to move on to the next one because it wasn't selling well. Steam had dropped the promotion stuff for them, and like the game itself was sort of fun, but Shadowkin had a lot of potential and there was a lot of extra stuff planned, and to see that within 2 days of launch, like the full launch of the game, within 2 days, just to see it disappear and say, yeah, we're just going to fix up some updates and that's it. Like, that really sucked, and it genuinely made me hate the game.
But just on that, though, yeah, you said that like, they dropped the support after 2 days. There was a game recently like that, too, that you got red, wasn't there? They dropped support, like, a day after they dropped it.
Yeah, the day before.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. Yeah, that's bad.
I was going to say, I thought, yeah, what do you Last of Us. Oh no, what's it called? What was that game you just said? The day before? That's not going to be your worst game, is it, though, Red?
No.
Surely,
no.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What's your worst game, Red?
So.
Red played a lot of bad games.
Yeah, like what Parkwatch says, I've been gaming for a very long time, so I can't remember them all. But in recent years, I'm sure Subby will agree with this because.
We'll see. I've got mine now, so we'll see.
Hood, Outlaws and Legends.
Nah, I played worse than that.
That game really needed Aussie support, and it never got it.
It was a good game, good concept, but yeah, another one of those. Yeah. No local servers, no support after, like, very quickly dropped support for it. But it was a really good concept, just very unbalanced.
There was that racing one me, Whippy, and Ash played.
Oh, the Fable, whatever it's called. No, not Fable.
Running Fable,
yeah. That was pretty bad.
And I think there was another one I saw on my list while I was scrolling down for Hood. Oh my god. I just can't remember it. Yeah, I'll just stick with them two at the moment.
Well, you can be. What's the worst game you've ever played?
I mean, I could be here all night talking about reviews, but I'd rather not. I'd have to say probably the biggest game that that's just disappointed me so much was Call of Duty Vanguard. Just the way they did the zombies. They just took everything away from what. Like it used to be, like round based, it just wasn't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And it just ruined the whole experience.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Mm. What about you, Subby? What's the worst game you've ever played? The new Mortal Kombat.
You know what? That's a good point. That's a good point. But it is Mortal Kombat related, and it is called Special Forces.
No, you were just bad at that game.
It was freaking horrible when it comes to cameras. No. You name it. That was not a good game. It should not exist, that game.
It wasn't that bad.
No, it was. It was. But yeah, you're right. You're right. MK1's a little disappointing. It's not...
Not the worst.
It's not the worst game I've played, no, but it is disappointing. But yeah, I don't know. I've just not played a lot of bad games. I don't know. I don't... Usually I play something because I think I'm going to enjoy it, and I don't really get too disappointed in them all. Like, I know where Camby's angle's coming from. A lot of CODs have disappointed me, but they're not bad. They're not the worst.
I good games, they're just a bit of a letdown.
But, I don't know. Special Forces was just really, really bad.
Like, the really worst bad. Game I have played to date that I can remember is one called Lost Dream Darkness, which I did a review for last year on the Switch. It didn't help it that I had to wait a week for him to release an update. Subby was emailing him frantically trying to get the game to work because it just wouldn't work. And then the game was literally just point joystick forward and run. And that's all it was. You teleport to another world, point joystick, run to another world. And that had the game finished within 15 minutes. And there was nothing else to do. And I messaged Subby and said, is it serious or... There was nothing. There was a couple of trees. It was just a shit game. Really shit game.
For something to be that small and done that fast, it's like...
Sounds like some of the easy platinums that they have on the Sony. You'll get a couple of... Like, I really love twin stick shooters. Absolutely love them to death. And some of these games are just so damned easy. You can get the platinum before even finishing the title.
Yeah.
And they're like $5 or $6. Like, I kind of hate that they exist.
But it makes your profile look a little bit better.
A little bit.
Until someone goes full depth into what games you've played and they go, ah, you played that game.
I think it's more like, it's just boosting your level, but like... For me, the pride comes when it's something that isn't easily platinumed, and it is still a very rare, like, when you see games with a, like, and that was, like, the whole point of me even chasing platinum trophies to begin with was, like, you know, it was like bragging rights, you know. It took me 100 hours to go and finish this, like, I think I've done most of the Lego titles on the PS4, and they're all like 50-hour plus platinum trophies.
Yeah.
And you had to 100% it, whereas these other ones, they just should not exist.
I think the hardest platinum I ever got was Metal Gear Solid 4, Sons of the Patriot. That platinum was brutal. That took me probably about 2 years to do.
I think the hardest one for me was Guitar Hero Live, with that 6-button controller. That was, I ground the absolute crap out of that game until I got that platinum trophy, but that was probably one of the most satisfying plats that I've ever had.
My only plat that I can think of is Lego Lord of the Rings. Like, that's the only platinum I think I've ever gotten.
No, I used to aim for platinums on the original Assassin's Creed. I'd sit there for hours making sure I got every feather or every whatever.
Yeah, they're just fun to achieve.
Now I just don't have time. I couldn't care less.
Well, I suppose a good one for our viewers is comment below on the worst game you've ever played. And,
Platinum you ever got.
And the easiest platinum you've ever got. I'm sure Farquaad probably has played all of them, so.
Oh, There's a couple.
We know Ash will be in the comments like, yeah. Do achievements count? Bam! He's played all week.
Well, if you haven't already, guys, we will head over to Juiced Energy. You'll see in Farquhar's little background he's got there is a bit of artwork from Juiced. Use code MKAU. You can cop yourself 10% off on your order. And that's another podcast done. We'll see you next time. Have a good one, guys. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.